All right, at this point, I'm just to briefly qualify. Well, I'm a real alcoholic, and I start drinking, it ain't pretty, and I can't stop. I never know where I'm going to end up. I never realized that it was always the first one that really started me on that roll. I say it was my starter fluid. It started me up and took me to the bitter end, and I wound up here, you know, broken and willingness. I had that dose of willingness I was really willing to do whatever it took to stay sober, and that's changed over the years as what I'm willing to do. No, I mean really, I get out of it what I put in, and I finally learned that. So the more I put in, the more I get out of it. I'm really anxious to hear the speaker tonight. Our speaker tonight is Steve Foreman, and I'm really anxious to hear his experience, strength, and hope. Steve has quite a bit of time of sobriety in the program. His sponsor was Clarence Snyder, which was one of the original 40 members of Alcoholics Anonymous, and Dr. Bob was his sponsor. So it was Clarence's sponsor. So without further ado, I introduce Steve Foreman.
Hi, everybody. My name is Steve Foreman, and I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic. I'm recovered by the grace of God, who did for me what I could not do for myself. I use the word recovered. Many don't care for that word. Sometimes they think they're recovering. Well, I want to introduce you tonight to a recovered alcoholic. I want to share with you why I believe that, because it's what I was taught by my sponsor, Clarence Snyder. He said, when you're done with these 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and you have had the third step on your knees and the seventh step on your knees, and you have accepted the higher power that he introduced me to, that the desire for alcohol would be taken away. It was, it has been, since January 21st, 1979.
Woo!
So, why did he use the word recovered? Well, he showed me. Why don't I open my book to page 1, where it says the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. Then he opened the book 3 or 4 more pages to the forward to the first edition, where it says we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is why is the main purpose of this book. The beginning of the stories in the first 3 editions, as I'm quoting from the 3rd edition of the big book, I'll tell you why a little later. The beginning of the personal stories, it says how 43 alcoholics recovered from their malady. I want to be recovered, folks. I'm glad I'm recovered, and I'm recovering for living. 10, 11, and 12 is what I was taught. Taught is where we live. And that's where I'm recovering. I'm recovering in 10, 11, and 12. I am done with alcohol. It's out of my system. And I believe that the subconscious mind believes what I tell it. So I'm a recovered alcoholic, period, new paragraph. So how'd I get here? I know the book, all our stories say, well, what it's like, what happened, what it's like now. I'm going to be brief on what it was like, because we all know what it was like. But I drank very steadily for 20-some years, from age 15 to age 35, 36. And Mrs. Foreman, who is here tonight, she tells people we've been happily married for about 25. And that's the truth. And you'll hear a part of my story how we have learned to live together through the recovering of living since I sobered up. Because we separated, we lived apart for a while, we have 2 children, probably mentally abused, certainly the older one. Drank for 20-some-odd years, and in 1974, she started going to Al-Anon. That's when she joined the famous Al-Anon church, which I affectionately refer to as Our Lady of Perpetual Revenge. So, she started there, and she learned it well. And for 3 years, was pretty consistent about helping me and wanting me to quit drinking. So in 77, the heat got really hot. I also refer to the fact she was going to divide up the house at that point, and I was going to get the outside. So, that's all. Enough of this humor. Anyway, so I said in the interest of keeping this thing together that I would go to an AA meeting, and I did, 1977, don't recall the date, but I do recall the meeting because it was conducted by a gentleman that had been sober 3 years longer than I'd been alive. His name was Clarence. And I went there, and I felt really bad. I mean, I cannot tell you how what a bunch of bums it was at that meeting. I mean, my God, they'd had DUIs and lost jobs and lost families and been in hospitals and been in jails and stolen things and all that. And my goodness gracious, never, never, never would I have been one of those. I left the meeting, felt like I'd been in a leper colony, that I was going to catch something, and I went home and announced that that was not for me. We're going to lose any friends we have. And a couple days later, I went to the library because I was searching for a reason to explain to her with clarity, why I was not an alcoholic. And of course, taking about 7-8 this many books home, I finally found what I wanted in one of those books, and it very clearly stated that if I had only two drinks a day and would have no more, I was not an alcoholic. And I promptly pointed that out to her, and then the next day went to what was J.M. Fields in those days and bought 2 28-ounce tumblers. Each tumbler held a fifth and 6 ice cubes. So I had 2 drinks a day, folks. And I drank for 2 more years until January 20th, Super Bowl Sunday. I did it on one of my routine numbers at somebody's house, and it was not pretty. And my normal routine at that time was, because of the way I conducted my affairs, my breath smelled pretty bad after a little bit of trips to the restroom or outside, and I was into cream the mint because that was sweetening the breath up, and I would be just as clean as whistle and go back. And anyway, I did the number with mashed potato dye and the plate. Anyway, I woke up the next morning. I said, you know, there's something wrong here. Something must be wrong, because I was the only one who had vomit on his shoes and who had mashed potatoes in his hair that I recall at this function. So Monday morning I woke up and I said, you know, something wrong. And divinely, remarkably, coincidentally, you picked the word, Clarence, came to my mind. The name Clarence. Huh. Clarence. Ran that meeting 2 years earlier I went to. Sober longer than I'd been alive. Missed out on all that fun. I called AA. I said, you guys know anybody named Clarence? Probably been sober about 40 years. Oh yeah, we know Clarence. Clarence S. He goes to the noon meeting on Mondays out in the Altamont Springs Mental Health Center. Oh boy. Two things wrong with that. One, I lived in Altamont Springs. And number two, the Mental Health Center. Because I didn't think I was insane. And I had no use for mental health centers. But I decided that day I'd put on my clothes and I'd go to that meeting. And I did. And there was one chair empty. Anybody want to guess where?
Next to Clarence.
So, for about 2 weeks, I just decided to follow this bird around. And after 2 weeks, learned that his wife, Grace, was happy, joyous, and free. The people he hung around with laughed and giggled and had a good time. They enjoyed life. They were sober. They had clean cars, clean shoes, clean suits. I decided I wanted what they had. I discovered what a sponsor was. First, I thought it was a bowling team. I thought we'd get a little name on the back of my shirt. I wanted to be sponsored. I mean, literally, I did not know what a sponsor was. And finally, I determined that. And I went up to Clarence after I'd been following him literally. Where are you going to the meeting next? You know, where are you going to the meeting? So I went. And I finally said, Clarence, will you be my sponsor? Well, young man. And there were a couple people here who knew Clarence. I don't know if you qualify. What do you mean you don't know if I qualify? That's what my brain said. I sure didn't say that to him. But I said, what does qualify? Okay, well, what's that mean? He said, I want to know if you're ready. I want to know if I'm willing to spend the time with you. He was a gruff, abrasive personality. And he didn't take any poo from anybody. And he didn't have to. But I said, well, let's see if I qualify. So he said, I'll ask you three questions. Do you think you have a drinking problem? Yes, I do. Do you want to do anything about it? Yes, I want to do something about it. What are you willing to do about it? What are you willing to do about it? Big question. I don't want to get it wrong. I want to get well. What should I say? Anything. Try that. Anything. I'll do anything. All right, young fellow, you can come on over to my house and we'll go through these 12 steps. How long is that going to take? What difference does it make? None. You know, let's send me in. I'm ready. I want to be cured. I want to be fixed. I want what you have, and I'm willing to go to any length to get it. So I went over to Clarence's house, and I learned a lot about this AA program. Literally, in the first month of my being in AA, and then I started going to meetings. And I find out a lot of uneducated, unknowledgeable information that did not occur in the early days of AA. Clarence Snyder took me through these 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous in 2 days. 4 hours, 2 days. And it was simple. And it was easy. And 32 years later, it must have been effective.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to share what happened there. Got about 20 minutes. And we'll breeze through those quickly, how he did it. And I hope it's revelationary to some of you. Because we went through those steps and it's just unheard of. I'll go places and they'll say, you're kidding me. I said, no, my fourth step took 30 minutes. 30 minutes. I've got a copy of it. I'll show it to you. So he said, we start off with one. We all qualified. Two was a little problem for me because I got into sanity. Thought I was a sane person. Now I said, tell me about how that last drunk was. Tell me how you conducted yourself during the last 4 or 5 years of your life in blackouts. How do you know what you did? How do you know where you were? So I determined I was an insane person. I had lost my sanity with alcohol. Third step was a big step because Clarence believed in a living God. And some of us like to keep his anonymity and just call him Jesus C. But he introduced me to Jesus C. And we got on our knees. And he said, you want a living God, don't you? You don't want one of them old Muhammad, dead ones, Buddha. You don't want any of that. Don't you want a living God? Well, yeah, okay. And I was very questionable. I was doubtful, folks. I was scared because I didn't want to give myself up. I didn't want to surrender. They called it a surrender in the old days where they give up. You give up. And I had to be willing to give up. And I said, Clarence, I don't know about Jesus. See, I don't know that I can do that. And he said, well, I tell you what, why don't you try it? Tell me what you have to lose by trying it. Now, I was the old school where I'd try anything once. Anybody in here do anything once? Okay, let's do something just once. What I have to lose? Okay, sign me up. Now, he taught me how to use the power and the strength and the glory of that God he chose. He said, you need a new manager. You ain't done a good job managing your own life. You need a new manager, and we're going to hire him here in the third step. And you're going to fake it till you make it. He had two, three great phrases. Fake it till you make it. If you don't believe, make believe. And if you don't stand for something, you're liable to fall for anything. So Clarence made me stand for something, which I'm standing up here telling you about. But we got on our knees. And we prayed. And I gave myself up. He said it, and I repeated it. I didn't know how to pray. I was the backseat member of the Presbyterian Church. I snuck in the back. I didn't want anybody near me because I stunk. So I was a churchgoer, but I did not know Jesus C. And I got to meet him. And it's been real good. Real, real good. So I tried it. I faked it until I made it. I studied, and I'll tell you where that was in step 11. But we got through three. I got up. We were on our knees. He said, let's go to step four. Let's clean house. You hired a new manager. We got to take an inventory. What's in there? You got to get rid of the bad. Let's find the bad. My fourth step, moral inventory. In Clarence Snyder's handwriting. And Clarence said, this step is the most misunderstood step in Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, but if you read 4, 5, and 6, you see that we're talking about a searching and fearless moral inventory. Not immoral, not amoral. Moral inventory. Step 5 says, we're admitting to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature. Nature of our wrongs. Not the wrongs. The nature of our wrong. 6, entirely have it ready to have God remove these defects of character. We're after defects of character. 7th step, we humbly ask God to remove all these shortcomings. So we got moral inventory, defects of character, nature of wrongs. And so Clarence said, we're going to talk about the nature of your wrongs here. So he had a list, he pulled it out. We went down, he wrote it down, and we talked about things like resentment, fear, anger, self-pity, self-justification. Did I resent anybody? Did I lie to anybody? Was I a dishonest human being? Hate, impatience, dishonesty. Those are the natures of our wrongs. And so I've seen him, and Jack R. is here. We've taken people over there to Clarence, and they'll bring a book, a yellow pad full of stuff. And I've seen him wad it up and throw it in the wastebasket. I don't want to read that crap. Those are not the nature of your wrongs. Those are the wrongs themselves. And he explained to me, he said, look, you're in a blackout. I don't know, anybody in here ever blacked out? You want to tell me how that was? What'd you do wrong? Who'd you lie to? Who'd you cheat on? Who'd you steal from while you're blacked out? So, you can't do the fourth step properly if you blacked out because you don't know what you did and where you were and how you did it. Then, how many of us want to write all that down and go home and put it on the cabinet for the wife to see? Or the family. I mean, you know, it is an ineffective way to write all that down, and it is unnecessary. Because if you lied, if you stole, if you hated, if you cheated, if you had jealousy, envy, dishonesty, insincerity, procrastination, laziness, you go down this list, and you say, I qualify, man, I made 100. I passed. I got an A on my fourth step. So, that's how long the fourth step took, folks. Go down the list. Steve, year or so I got selfish, false pride, impatient, resentment. You know, check them off. Great. Now we know the nature of your wrongs. The nature of your wrongs. You want to be rid of those? You betcha. So we admit to ourselves, to God, another human being, nature of our wrongs. We're entirely ready to be rid of these. Step six. Holy cow, let's go. Step seven. Why don't we dump these things? Why don't we get rid of them? That's what we did. Humbly ask God to remove all my shortcomings. Back on your knees, Steve. We're going to ask God to remove these. Dear God, please remove selfishness, dishonesty, fear. And when I was done with the list of my character defects, he says, you're clean as a hound's tooth. One of his favorite sayings, whatever a hound's tooth looks like. Or a clean one. He says, you're as clean. Right now, you're that erased tape. You're clean. So I was cleaned out. Step seven. Pointed out to me, they will come back. Your character defects will come back. What's 10 steps say? Continue to take personal inventory of the wrong, properly admit it. 10 steps are a house cleaning step. 10 steps is our sweeper, our broom, our vacuum, our Medivac, or whatever you want to call it. One of them things that cleans it all up. But he said, you're right now, you're clean. We have given God all of your character defects. You have done 4, 5, 6, and 7. You've cleaned house. Very comfortable feeling. Very comfortable to not have to sit around like I hear people sitting for months writing a fourth step and the pain and the suffering. And then you got to go tell somebody about all that junk and relive it. Not necessary. Wasn't necessary for this alcoholic by the grace of God. So, went through 7. 8. We made a list of all the people at harm. I made a list. Became willing to make amends to them all. Not complicated. Start with the family. Mom, dad, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandma, wives, kids, employers, schoolmates, chums. What's the big deal? That's what he said to me. You know, if you don't think of them all now, guess what? You got step 10. Don't have to think of them all now. Don't have to sit around for a month thinking. Sent me home. See you tomorrow. Bring your 8-step list. Okay. Went home. Made a list. Came back. Went over it with him. Made amends. Told me how to do it. Call him up. Go see him. Write him. They're dead. Pray at him. Did it. And I missed a few. And Sue will remember one who used to sit by us at a football game. He was about this big and took up 4 seats. And he and I would get drunk and we would be reasonably raucous with one another. And I called him names with reference to his size. And Sue and I were going up to our seats, which we've had since 1964 at the University of Florida football games, and this guy stood up and, "You're no good, sir." Oh my God, I missed a guy. Missed him. Apology wasn't good enough there, believe me. Called him up. "You just stay on your side of the street and I'll stay on mine." That was his response, and he was a judge in Orange County, a very prominent circuit court judge in Orange County. He used to carry a 6-shooter in his glove compartment. But I called him and I said, "I just want you to As our big book says, I've done my part. If someone does not accept this amend, the ninth step, it's water over the dam. But you've done your part. I did my part, cleaning the house, move on. So our tenth step allows us to continue to make amends. If we missed it on the list, guess what? Tenth step, there's a catch-all. Catches all them defects. So that was the first nine steps. Clarence told me then we shut the book on those. Now, there's some news. I mean, shut the book. So if you've done your first nine steps, you never have to go back and do them again. Because if you're recovering in 10, 11, and 12, 10 keeps the defects away. 10 works the amends. 11, where I'm seeking through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. If I'm doing that, I don't have to go back and do 3 again. I'm in touch with the Master. I touch base with Him every day, morning and night. Got books in my bathroom and books by my bed that deal with touching every day in with the Master. So if I'm doing 11, I don't have to go back to 3. I don't have to go back to 4 if I'm doing 10. I don't have to go back 5, 6, or 7 if I'm doing 10. Second part of that 11th step is that we're looking for God's will for me and the power to carry it out. So when we got to 10, Clarence said, this is where you keep your house clean. This is when you go to bed at night, you say, were you a good boy or a bad boy? Review your day. If something's gnawing at you, get your list out. Get that list of character defects out. Go down them. What's bugging you? Our big book on page 84 says, this is not an overnight matter. He taught me that. It should continue for a lifetime is what our big book says. It says, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And they just left off about 16 other character defects that Dr. Bob and Clarence and those guys in Cleveland put together. So if I continue to watch for dishonesty, for resentment, for fear, for self-pity, for self-justification, for guilt, for shame, for lying, for dishonesty, blah, blah, blah. If I'm watching for my character defects in my 10th step, guess what? I was taught my slate will stay clean. But I got an impatient streak that Mrs. Foreman is rather well aware of. I got some pets on that list, and they bother me a lot, daily. And it takes a lot of work, folks. It should continue for a lifetime. This is not an overnight matter. In other words, it never ends. 10th step work never ends for this alcoholic. I wake up impatient. I wake up intolerant. And I got to pray about it. And I got to work on it. And I got to make amends a lot. But it keeps the old slate clean. I don't have to drink at that stuff anymore. I don't even have to think about drinking. I haven't thought about a drink in over 30 years because God took the desire away. So the 10th step says that we continue for a lifetime. We watch for our character defects. Here's an awfully important next sentence. When these crop up, we ask
God
to remove them. It doesn't say bring that bag of poo to the meeting. Get out the pity pot and sit on it. Call the pity committee. Oh, golly darn, what happened to me today? Holy smokes. When does it say to do something about it?
Immediately.
We ask God at once to remove them. So, if that happens, then I got to work on it right away. I'm not as frequently as some members of my family would like. But as a general rule, within 24 hours, I got my slate back clean. And I feel good and I sleep well at night. And I'm doing my 10th step because I'm watching. And I ask God at once to remove them. I have developed a power phrase using this higher power named Jesus C, where I can do as He did and say, "Look, leave me alone, impatience. Leave me alone, intolerance. God has you now. I want nothing to do with you." So I'm working individually on my character defects, naming them and casting them out by the power that was given to me, by the power I accepted when I got on my knees. My new manager takes care of that. That's his job. And the more frequently I give it back to him, the easier it is for me to work the 10th step. So that's what I learned about 10. Keep the slate clean daily. Good boy, bad boy. Go over my list. Continue to watch for these character defects. And when they crop up, I ask God at once to remove them. 11th step, seeking something, Clarence said. Prayer and meditation is how we're seeking something. We're seeking to improve our conscious contact with God. How? Through prayer, through meditation. Prayer is talking to God, Clarence taught me, and meditation is listening to God. Now, meditation gave me a little trouble because I got the picture of the yoga person and this, you know, the sit around and meditate. I didn't do that well. But I learned. Now, is anybody in here ever worried? All who have worried, just go ahead. Okay, you guys have meditated. All of us who worry, meditate. We just focus on that junk all the time. It's bad. It's getting worse. It's horrible. We're negativity. We're really hurting here. I'm guilty. I'm worry, worry, worry. What am I going to do tomorrow? What happened to me? Where am I? What? Worry, 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 worry. Meditate, meditate, meditate. Why don't I change what I meditate on? The old man taught me. Why don't I look for good stuff to meditate on? Why don't I count my blessings? Why don't I read stuff that indicates positive? I started reading stuff on the power of positive thinking and Think and Grow Rich and the power of your subconscious mind and blah, 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 and I'm still reading something. Every week I'm reading something, and I learned that I had an extra 6 hours a day. Think about that. Much extra time you got since you gave up whiskey or drugs? A little bit extra time, right? A little bit extra time. So the old man asked me, he said, "What you doing with your extra time?"
Worrying.
Gave me some good books to read. I'll share them with you. I mean, it is seeking. This step says I'm seeking. I got to be looking. If I ain't looking, I ain't going to find. Seeking you shall find. Knocking the door will be opened. Asking it will be received to you. Matthew 7:7. I mean, this is as old as the Bible is itself. So I'm seeking. I'm going to look. That's what he taught me. Get back to the basics. You're broke. Your family suffered. You got nothing going for you. Except you're a very talented person. There's not a soul in this room that Clarence always felt like we are the most talented bunch of folks he ever ran into in our lives. And if we have suffered our loss of talent, it is because somebody abused us mentally. Someone has told us we're not worth anything. Someone has said you're not going to amount to anything. And he told me, he said, "Get back into the Bible. Because it doesn't say in there anywhere, thou shalt be poor. It doesn't say anywhere, thou shalt suffer." No. He says, "You got good stuff going on here. Prosperity and health. Good relationships." This alcoholic went to the bookstore. He was broke. My extra 6 hours, what am I going to do with it? Going to read. Got a broker's license in real estate. Got a mortgage broker's license. Got an NASD securities license. Started buying property. Learned how to buy property. Wear nothing down. Learned how to negotiate with banks. Learned how to negotiate with lawyers. Went to reading school. Went back and took the Evelyn Wood reading course. Went to Seminole Community College and took a speed reading course because I found out that I had learned to read with one eye because of double vision. Gee, this is revolutionary to me. Holy smokes, I can't read. Well, why? Well, you dummy. You know, so I learned how to read again. He told me that. Back to the basics. I called him up one time. Oh, you're on the pity pot again, I see, he says. Oh, no sales. He says, you call anybody? There's a revolutionary idea. How are you going to sell anything if you don't call anybody? I went back to the basics. Salesmanship. Bought books on salesmanship. Bought books on how to close deals. I got books and books and books. Anger. Got a lot of anger. Got books on anger. Sue and I got a book written on anger. Got books on how to restore marriages. We've been to seminars. What did this alcoholic do? Prayed only for knowledge of God's will for me and the power to carry it out. I prayed for that, folks. I said, I want to be successful. I wrote little cards, and I got them today, and they stick up on the wall and say, I'm healthy, happy, and successful. I am healthy, happy, and successful. I succeed. Positive mental attitude. I grind myself up. I get excited. I get goose pimply. And there's no one in here who cannot have that talent, because God gave us all talents. Clarence said we're among the top 10% in talents. Find out what you're good at. Study it. Go back to school. It is never too late. We have alcoholic people that we know that are getting their doctorate degrees in their late 70s. I take courses every year on my profession. I don't want to get behind. You're talented. Get off your butt. What he told me. Get off your butt. You got an extra 6 hours a day. What are you going to do with it? Watch TV? Wheel of Fortune? I think not. Video games? What are we doing with our time? He says, you know, go look at what you're reading. Go look at what's on your TV. What do you watch? What do you see? What are you listening to? What are you speaking? Great book called Hung by the Tongue. What you say is what you get. What you say is what you get. What's coming out of here? What's coming out of there? Poor mouth or rich mouth? A lot rather rich mouth. Got my debts paid off. Got my family back together. Living in a fairly nice home. Got some cars that don't have the fenders falling off of them. Paid for. Not bragging. Because when I came in here, none of that was there. None of that. And the old man got on me, and he stayed on me. And he says, you got 6 hours, buddy. And you got that 11th step, and you're going to pray, and you're going to meditate, and you're going to seek what God has in mind for you, and you're going to pray for knowledge of God's will for you and the power to carry it out, and you're going to pray for God's will for you and the power to carry it out, and you're going to pray for the God's will for you and the power to... I mean, it was a broken record, but it worked. It bathed this subconscious and unconscious mind with success patterns, with richness of life, with education, with joy of family. That's all the program did for us. And there's more to come. So what did he say to do? 12th step. Okay, you had a spiritual awakening. The light came on. Holy smokes. There's some living to do here. There ain't suffering. So I had a spiritual awakening. Went to a retreat in March of 1979. A very spiritual retreat. I was scared to death. But Jesus C. was there. And he found me. I wasn't looking, but he found me. And it ain't been broke since, and I don't want to fix it. And I don't mind telling people about it, and I appreciate your listening to my experience, strength, and hope in that regard, because that's what I believe in. So, had a spiritual awakening, tried to carry this message to other alcoholics. First retreat I went to, Clarence wanted me to speak. I could not speak. I'm the only course I flunked in high school was speech. Speech. So, how do I carry the message? How does anybody in here carry it? I don't know. But you're talking to a guy who flunked speech. I'm talking to whatever. But can't believe that. So, how do I carry the message? Maybe you drive people. Maybe you're the best coffee maker. Maybe you go here or there. Maybe you take people to meetings. Maybe you talk at meetings. But he taught me to carry the message. Carry that message. What I'm doing here tonight. Carrying the message. Last, practice these principles in all our affairs. How did Tiger Woods get to be any good?
Practice.
Michael Jordan. Practice. Any of them. Practice. How did this alcoholic get to be where and through and recovered the way I have? Practice. 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 Thank you for listening.
Thank you.